Rabbi, I think you're on mute.
Okay, take two. So we're in Perek and Kisisa, Perek Lamed Gimel. Ultimately, the Rashi we're headed for is the Rashi on Zion. But I guess we'll get some context. So it's called Seeking Hashem in Moshe's tent, from or something like that. Okay, so basically, it's the day after Chet HaEgel. Okay, after Chet HaEgel. So I guess you pick up the being Perek Lamed Gimel. Hashem told Moshe to go up from here, you and the nation, to the land of, the land they've sort of obviously Yaakov. But I'm going to send the Malach, right? Fine, because I'm not going to go with you because you're an Amksha, you're like stubborn. And lest I'm going to annihilate you. So the people heard about this and they mourned and they didn't put on their crowns, whatever that means. And then Hashem said to Moshe, tell B'nai Yisrael, you're a stiff-necked nation. One moment I'm going to be amongst you and I'm going to destroy you. So therefore, take off your crowns and you'll know what I'm going to do for you. And sure enough, the Jewish people removed their crowns from Har HaKodesh. And then, okay, here's the main part. So Moshe Yikach HaSa'ol, this is Zion. Moshe took his tent, V'nata lo michutz l'machaneh, and he planted it or set it up far from the camp. Harchek min ha-machaneh, far away from the camp, not just out of the camp, far away from the camp. The kara lo ohel moed, and he called it the ohel moed, tent of the meeting, right? Similar to the name that the Mishkan is eventually called, right? And the other who sought out Hashem, yitzei al ohel moed, Hashem yichutz l'machaneh, would go out to the ohel moed that's outside of the camp, right? Okay. And when Moshe would leave the tent, they would stand up and they'd all look and so on and so forth. Okay, so basically, right, this is his tent, he called it Ohel Moed, and anyone who sought out Hashem would go to the Ohel Moed. Okay, fine. So Rashi says it was the Chum Shabbos, that's how far it was, and they'd call this Ohel Moed, which is Rashi, the Korolo, by a Korolo Ohel Moed. Who Beis Vav, Lakshya Torah, was like a gathering place. This Moed is like to gather, it's a tent of gathering. So it's a gathering place in Lakshya Torah for those who are seeking out Torah. Okay, and then, called Mavakesh Hashem, anyone who sought out Hashem would go out to the Al Moed. Mikan, Rashi says, the Mekabel Pnei Shechina, I'm sorry, the Mekabel Pnei Zaken, Kimpal Pnei Shechina. That's someone who seeks out the presence of a Zaken, which is like a Talmud Chacham. Is like he's Mekabel, the presence of the Shechina. Right? So call, what's Rashi going on? Why is he saying that? Right? Mikan, what do you mean Mikan? How is that Mikan?
They weren't actually Moses said
Right, okay. I mean, they weren't actually greeting Hashem, they were just greeting Moshe. So how's that seeking out the Shechina? Seeking out Hashem? So as I was saying, it's like seeking emotions, like seeking Shechina. Okay, but how do you know that's called Mevakesh Bnei Zaken? Maybe it's on Mevakesh Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Like, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu is different than anybody else. So how do you know that that carries over to a general statement, the Mekabel Pnei Zaken, Kimpal Pnei Shechina, right? So the quote here in the Maskil of David, he says it comes from Kol. Call Makesh Hashem. It's just the same. Makesh Hashem. It's all mine. And who seeks, someone who seeks Hashem. Right? But call Makesh Hashem is like a reboy. Not only seeking out Moshe is like seeking out Hashem, but this is like a more general principle. Call Makesh Hashem. Anyone who seeks out Hashem will go all mine. Now, obviously, you're not going to go all mine. Yeah, that's not an eternal thing, but the concept that you could seek out Hashem, but seeking out a Zaken is like a combination of Shechina. Has a universality to it. It's not Lav Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the case by Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's a more universal idea. The fact that there's an extra word, so it didn't have to say kol. It could have just said Vayim Makish Hashem. So it says kol. It's like adding. It's a word that isn't necessary. So your Doresh, a word. The Torah writes an extra word to teach you something that's more broad than you naturally would think. So the broadness is that it's not only someone who seeks out Moshe, but anyone who seeks out a Zaken is like a combination. So that's Rashi's first shot. mean, you'll see. I think from the second shot also, it's the you see the stoop shot them, but I think they're both going. I think it's a support from the next one. It seems clear this doing the drasha and call. And that's the problem that's bothering Rashi. There's two interpretations where they're both learning different ways of interpreting what Kol is teaching it. So the second one says, Dover Acher, Vaya Kol Mavakesh Hashem. What does it mean? Kol Mavakesh Hashem. Afilu Malachi Hashares. Even the angels, ministering angels, Kesho Yisholim Makom Shechina, when they saw it, when they would ask the place of the Shechina, Havereim Omram Laim, Arihu Ba'ahalo Shal Moshe. Their friends would tell them he's in the tent of Moshe. Right? So again, where is he getting the Malachi Shoreis from? So again, I think, again, it's called. Now, whatever this means, what it means, called Mavakesh Hashem, means more than you would naturally think. What does it mean more than naturally think? You'd think it's talking about people. No, it's talking about Malachi Shoreis. You think it's only talking about people in that generation, first Pshat. No, it's even talking about people in all generations. So I think, again, there's two ways to be Doresh why it's saying called. Right now, obviously, the second one is much more interesting, much more perplexing. But what does that even mean? That's what caught my attention here. What does it mean that the Malachi HaShareis would ask for the Makom HaShechina, then their friends would say, oh, he's in the tent of Moshe?
Your friend would be out of place.
Yeah. Or, you
would think the
Malachi. I even come. So where is the place that was kavod? Who knows? There's no place. What's this idea? He's saying that the Moshe is not all emotion. Okay, what does it mean to make a Kavalei Shkin on the first shot?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, again. Who are the Malachi Shares? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, that's a good question. Why are they asking, where is the Makom Neshchina? Why is there, what do they need Makom Neshchina? Where's all the Malachim? Do they need to have a place? They're non-physical beings or something, seemingly. And why are they looking for a place? I'm just saying, whatever. There is no place. They don't need a place.
Right.
That's the way.
Here.
That's a good question. Like, what's triggering that question? Why are they wondering where is the Makom Neshchina? I don't know. Well, where did, was Makom Neshchina before Moshe Rabbeinu came around? Right? Yeah, that's a good question.
Did someone else?
I think the plame shot is the Chavarim of the other angels. But not clear what their friends are. Well, who did they have friends? For so long? I mean, I guess we talk about Kedusha. Azazel, some of Chmiru, right?
They call each other.
Right. Right. They're right. Friends. But, like, what's this idea? Their friends are guiding them. And something's funny about the whole thing, right? Right, it says in the Kedusha, they say, they'd say to one another, I'm a Kavodah. And then in response to Baruch Hashem Kavodah Hashem Koma, it's like, it sounds like there is no place. He's just blessed from whatever place it is, so he can't find it. There's no place. It family means that there is no place. He can't locate his place. It's just, Kavodah Malei Olam. It's just, right? Built everywhere. They don't say in the Kedusha, like in Tent of Moshe. I know, doesn't it sound like, this is strange. It's like, Malachim need to go to the Tent of Moshe? Like, I get it. Like, we need to go to the Tent of Moshe. But the angels, they don't they have other routes or vehicles? Is that real? I mean, that's what it sounds like it's saying. Even Malachim, it's so halodic that even Malachim go to the need to go to the Tent of Moshe. But really? They're Malachim. Malachim need a Tent of Moshe to go to Malachish Shechina?
Well, it doesn't say they go there.
Well, they're wondering where it is. So I don't know. Isn't it local or is Kavodah? Isn't like the Kodesh, the Shechina, like everywhere? I don't know. Is that really?
That's what I'm wondering.
They need it. Leslie asks an excellent question. Is why is an angel, which is, I think, implicit in what we're saying, but why is an angel have to seek the Shechina through the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu? Angels are at a higher level than Moshe Rabbeinu. You'd think they're angels. Moshe is the greatest human being, but I mean, are angels, they need to go to the tent of Moshe? It would seem like they're in a heavenly sphere. They have knowledge of God in a more direct type of a way. Do they really need to come down to earth in order to seek out knowledge of God? It wouldn't seem so. But it sounds like that's what Rashi's saying. I mean, I'm just touching up what Rashi says. That's what he says. Even the angels, call Mavakesh Hashem. Even angels, when they're looking for the Mangal Shechina, their friends say, hey, it's Yitzel HaMoed, go to the tent of Moshe. What do you mean? And the tent of the Moshe is filled up with people and angels, and they're all just sitting around schmoozing and whatever. Like, what's, you know, they're in the shir or something? What's it talking about? Yeah, okay, right. That's what you're asking. What you're saying is like, look, the Kabel Pnei Azakin seems to be a meritorious thing in its own right. You want to go and you're interested in information. You don't just go to the town joker or whatever. You go to the Chacham, the Pnei Azakin. That's a great thing. Seems to be valuable. Seeking advice, knowledge from a Chacham. But how does that, it's good, true, great. But how does that become Panavanei Shechina? Panavanei Shechina seems to be a different fact entirely. You daven or something, I don't know. But how is seeking out knowledge or whatever from a zaken, right? Mikav Neshlina. Is that right? That's your question, are you right?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. And Yaakov also is saying is Mvakish Pnei Zaken is Mekabel Pnei Shechina. The verbs are different. Just doesn't say Mvakish Pnei Zaken, you seek out a Zaken, it's like you're seeking out the Shechina. You seek out a Zaken, it's like you're receiving Kabel, receiving, greeting. Plus it's in Mvakish Hashem, so that's why it says Mvakish Pnei Zaken. But like, then why shouldn't it say Mvakish Pnei Shechina? If that's the Pasuk, that's Mvakish Hashem. Right? So are those two words synonymous? And if so, why is Rashi changing? They sound kind of synonymous, but, he does change. So that's your question, right? Okay. What does it even mean to be a Kabbalah? It sounds like you're seeking out the Zaken, seeking him out, seeking knowledge from him, asking questions. Yeah, and then somehow Mimela, it's like you're in the presence of the Shekhinah, like you're greeting the Shekhinah. That's not you're seeking out directly, you're seeking out the Chacham, but somehow that becomes like you're the Shekhinah, so much so the Torah describes it as a Vakesh Hashem. It almost like skips a step and it's like becomes like you're in Vakesh. Even though you're not really directly seeking. So he's asking, why does it mean Vakesh Pnezakin? Vakesh Pnezakin. What's this idea of the face of a Zakin? Good question. The puzzle doesn't say just in Vakesh Hashem, right? In Vakesh Pnezakin. Yeah, okay, good question. Like Hashem doesn't have a face, so I feel like it's a mashal for the presence of Hashem. But Zaken, I think it's like his face. It's like you go in his face, but metaphorically it means you go in his presence. But we could just, but still, what is the presence altogether? Just you seek out a chacham. Maybe you're behind the wall and you just call on the telephone. I don't know. Like, no, Pnei sounds some sort of like a personal interaction or something like that. Doesn't say mevakeh she'ela mechacham, Well, like, so you send it into the shliach. Doesn't sound like that's quite it. Mm. Like it's describing an experience in mevakeh, Yeah, I like that. It's good picking up on the subtlety. Get into emotion associated too. So why don't we bring in this Rambam and throw out the list of questions. Okay, so it's by the Rambam on Dveikas Barasham. Okay, so it's Deos Vakbeis. So it's mitzvah saseh. So by the way, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, "Botidbak, you should cling to Hashem." Okay, to Him you should cling. So let's wonder one second. I'm curious how it says it in the Koseres here. So the question is, what does it mean you should cling to Hashem? Okay, so that's pasuk Ram says, "Mitzvah saseh lihidabek bechachamim." It's a mitzvah to cling to chachamim, kedei lilmon mima'aseihem, in order to learn from their actions. Ne'amar u'botidbak. Pasuk says that you should cling to Him. V'chi evshar l'adam le'davik b'shchina. Is it possible to cling to the Shechina? No. Ela kach amru chachamim. The feirish mitzvah zu. So this is how the chacham explain what does it mean to cling to Hashem. Hidavik b'chachamim v'tamideh. Cling to the chachamim and their students. L'fikach, therefore, tzach nashtadil shi'is about samachacha. Person should try to marry the daughter of a tamachacha. V'yasi bito l'talmid chachamim. And marry his daughter off to Talmid Chacham, and to eat and drink with him, and do business with him, and to join together in any type of chibur that is.
Cling to him. Any kind of physical action,
even if it's business. Yeah, exactly. And this Chacham say, you should wallow in the dirt of their feet. And drink with thirst. Their words. Okay. So it's analogous, I think, in some sense, because it's like it's describing the pasuk is describing a relationship to Hashem, clinging to Hashem. Then it's saying is that's not really possible. So therefore, instead, this means to cling to the Chachamim. Right? And somehow, but it doesn't say that. It says you're clinging to Hashem. So it sounds implicitly somehow, and this has to be explained, that clinging to Chachamim is like you're clinging to the Shechina. Right? And in that sense, it seems like similar, like seeking out the face of a Zagan, right? Maybe there's some sort of personal connection or something like that, is as if you're seeking out the Shechina. Maybe not exactly identical. And then Moshe said there's an analogous passage by Rashi and Shmuel that says, Meshamesh the Melech HaChamim, serving the Talmid HaChamim, like with Shmuel and Eli, is similar to Mekam Meshamesh the Shechina.
Very strange. Sorry, Moshe. He picked up his dry cleaning. Now he has to be the leader.
Yeah, right. So what is it? So what is this? So again, I don't know. You could just say this is pushing the question off. But I don't know. Maybe it's like it talks. It's more a little more talkative. Like, I mean, Rashi is short, and again, this is an association. Maybe they're entirely different, but they sound similar. And this, at least the Rambam and this, it's like a little more talkative, and it's a mitzvah in the Torah, part of the mitzvah. So it's, you know, it's Rambam and he's talking. So maybe we could try to understand this together with that, or, you know, one of them. See if we can connect them up. Or maybe not. You know, my intuition is that, and they're related. That's your intuition also. Let's analyze how. I don't know, maybe you've done this before. I know I've done this in the share at some point. I remember doing this in my house in Hurricane Sandy. I have electricity. some guys came over to my house. I don't know if you were there. But it's cold and dark.
I went to the fade sort of working.
Yeah. Hey, let's say that's the right question. Let's answer that. How is it that if you're medabik the menachom, you're medabik shlina? Like, well, what is that? I understand if you want to tell me a mitzvah to cling to the menachom. I'm like, okay, fine. I hear. Sounds like a good idea. Right? But, I mean, you could ask, why do I have to eat with them? But whatever. I kind of get it. But, like, why is describing that as medabik the shlina? So that's the point. So what I'm saying is that, in a nutshell, that when you hang out with the menachom, then you learn how they act in every single facet of their lives. That's they're in line with Achva Jachov, and you pick that up, and that moves you closer to the Shechina, to the Maravata, to the proper way to live, in line with the Shechina, so it becomes an experience that moves you closer to the Shechina. Okay, so I'm thinking of something, like something a little different. Okay, I don't disagree with what you guys are saying, but something a little different, which is, to me, like the word Dveikus, clinging, has like an emotional component to it. It's not just like a intellectual learning experience, but it's like you're clinging to the Shechina. And that's why Chazal are bothered by it. You cling to the Shechina. You could learn from the Shechina. You could try to study the Shechina. But to cling to the Shechina, it's just like so, I don't know, it just feels physical or it feels like emotional.
Yeah, you're feeling it.
Yeah, it's just the word. The word is like a strong, has a strong connotation like that. And that's why Chazal, I think, are offended by that. Is it possible to cling to the Shechina? The saying is, no, you cling to the Necham. Which I think means, again, on a practical level, before we get to why that's called cling to Shechina, is it means to create an emotional connection to the Necham. It means to marry their daughters and then marrying your daughters and doing business with them and eating with them and like thirsting their words and rolling in their dirt. And like, it's like a, it's like there's a, there's like you just want to be with them, you know? And like, you know, it reminds me of the back in the day. You know, this is, I remember we used to walk right home from shul. I don't know if you, I'm sure you remember that back in the day, but there you'd walk back with like an entourage of people. And like, I think like everyone in town was walking the other way. It was like moved by it. I don't think it was like, momish, it would be like a pyramid of people. Like there'd be people flanking on this side and this side and this side. And then there was like a row behind him. It was like bowling pins, you know, like, you know, and everyone be like, kind of like, whatever. And it's like, you just want to hear every word that she's saying, you know? So, but that's like an emotional connection, and that's what people thought of it. It's like, right. You know, feel like a guru or something like that. But there's, it's not just the relationship one has with Talmid Chacham isn't just, let me go to his shir.
Right.
Let me go to shir. What do I need to hang out and eat lunch with him? Oh, it's the, you know. But no, it's you want to be with him. There's a dveikus. There's an emotional connection. So you could say, why? So on one hand, you could say, well, that's a means. And that's the thing, and I agree with that. It's true, is that there's a lot you could pick up from the, you know, Sichas Chulin of the Chacham, and, you know, there's certain things that the Chacham will say at their meal, which isn't the same thing as they're going to say at the, in their shir. And they're not the way they're going to act, as you're saying, Mahavata, the way they're going to act at the meal, whatever, everything. The way they're like in a business deal is the way they act differently with their, you know, whatever. That's true. But I think that there's also, it's like a person has a desire for dveikus, to cling to something. And where should that desire, that's like something dangerous about that. the dvekas. People direct their dvekas to Hollywood stars, the sports athletes, to, I don't know, to whoever, to cool people, to, I don't know, whatever. Like, well, who are you dovik? Who do you direct your emotional energy towards? And you have a desire to do that. And it's saying uboted, but ultimately the only real place to do that is psychosis problem. Just directing your energy towards a person is dangerous. People lead you in all different wrong directions and you get emotionally connected to a person. Which is, you know, which could be problematic for a person. And one might argue that it's not appropriate to do to a Talmud Chacham either. One might argue. But, and let me digress for a second, leave that thought. It is the Gemara which says, Rabbi, this I've talked about before, Rabbi Akiva, I think, was Dorish every S in the Torah. Every single time it's an S, you learn that as some drasha. S, Kabed, S, Abicha, S, Imecha, teach you even your older brother. S. Every S learned that some din, some halacha. Till he stopped. He got to S, Hashem, Alekech, Atira, the pure Hashem, your God, and he stopped, and he was going to say, just like I received Tzkar from Dorish, all these things, I'm going to get Tzkar for stopping. Because how can you possibly be Mishatik joining anything together with a Gosh Baruch? You can't fear anything like if you're Hashem. It must not be this whole endeavor. Throw it out. Apparently you're not Dorish every single last in the Torah. Until I think it's Shimon HaMsuni or someone came and says, no, S Torah was Tamei Chacham. S includes Tamei Chacham. So the question is, again, what's the Chiddush? I don't know, he could have thought of that. But I think, see, Rabbi Akiva held it on the surface before Shimon HaMsuni came along. He says, you can't be. Because you can't join together as a fear of Hashem and fear of a person. But maybe the answer is that, see, a Talmud Chacham, for a Talmud Chacham, it's possible. Because a real Talmud Chacham, like Moshe Rabbeinu, is like Anav Me'od, we call it Anav Pnei Adama. That, see, he directs all the attention away from him towards the Kadosh Baruch. And the Talmud Chacham goes hand in hand. The Chachma goes to the Adam. And yeah, you're not going to fall prey to the trap of the aggrandizing, or I don't know what's the right word, but building up the human being in that type of a way, like infallibility or anything like that, because the Talmud Chacham, a real Talmud Chacham, is not about himself. Everything is about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he directs the energy away. He's like a I don't know, reflects all your connections are directing towards the Shekhinah. He's always talking about the Shekhinah. He's not talking about himself. If you have a Talmud Chacham who's a Baal Gaiva, such a thing, you know, then it's dangerous. And then it really isn't. And that was a kind of what Rabbi Akiva was thinking. How could a person be this that's going to lead a person away from Hashem towards a person? But Shimon HaMsuni was saying, no. Assuming it's a real Talmud Chacham, that then he will deflect the all the attention from him towards a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's an appropriate redirect your energy, and your Yirah, which is directed towards him, becomes directed towards Hashem, and that becomes like a kiyum of Yerushalayim. So I'm saying similarly here, it's like you have a desire to dvekas. You need a cling, and you can cling to bad places. That feelings of desiring to cling is free energy, which is going somewhere. And you could direct that clinginess towards a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the person of the Talmud Chacham. And that leads your energy. That's appropriate to take on that type of a profile of, well, you know, wallowing in their dust at their feet and drinking their words thirstily, because they will, in a certain sense, it's like that clingy energy gets siphoned towards a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not directly, because it can't really take hold of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as an object, but it's like the direction of that energy is like towards a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Talmud Chacham, who everything about him points you in the direction of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, with that in mind, maybe it's a similar thing here. Is that Kabel Mevakesh Pnei? I like that your pickup there on the Pnei Chacham. It's like you want the presence. You don't want to just call him on the phone or whatever. It's like you want to be in his presence. You want to seek out the Talmud Chacham, not because you're seeking him out. You're seeking out Hashem. But the way to reach Hashem and the Talmud Chacham is ultimately
the environment.
Yeah, it's like the environment which puts you before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you're in the presence of the Zaken, you are in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're seeking out him because you're looking for Chachma, questions, Torah, whatever. But Mimela, because of what he's talking about and the way he's knowing and all the example he sets, you're in the presence of Hashem. And that's saying, Kol Mevakesh Hashem. Ultimately, that's the root of Mevakesh Hashem. The root of Mevakesh Hashem is the Bnei Hashchina is ultimately going to be through the Bnei Zaken. It's not the Chiddush of the Torah. There's the religious leaders are a dangerous institution, and they often could lead people astray away from God towards religious leaders. And that's what Rekiva was like worried about, if you will. But the Chiddush is that the Torah is matir that, and Torah holds that because of who the Talmud Chacham is and what the Talmud Chacham is, the nature of his personality, it's an appropriate vehicle for Yirah Shemayim to Yirah Talmud Chacham directs you, and it becomes like a Yirah Shemayim ultimate. And it doesn't stick to the person of the Talmud Chacham. It bounces off the Talmud Chacham and to the Shemayim. Even though like the direct Yirah is towards the Talmud Chacham, it's ultimately comes like he's a Malach Hashem Tzvakos. So that's what it says. If your Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, then you learn. Not. But he has to be a Malach. He has to be an agent of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If he's like an angel of Hashem, message of Hashem, then you can learn from him. If not, then it's like him. And that's dangerous. Ultimately, he has to position himself, present himself as an angel of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as a message of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And ultimately, you're seeking out the Shekhinah. You're going to them, and that's why it's not dangerous. That's what avoids. For example, that should be like a metric. If again, there's different levels of Chacham, obviously, and not everyone's going to be able to reach Moshe Rabbeinu, and everyone has to choose their own Rabbi. But it could be this as a metric, and I think that's the thing. If you should be like, if he's Doma in your mind, like Malach Tzvakos, if your energy is going towards him as a person, whether it's because that's what you're doing, that's what you're thinking about it, or that's the way he's certainly, if that's the way he's. You know, making a theme, then it's going down a bad path. And that's indicative of the fact that maybe he's not really the appropriate vehicle of that era. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's hard to, draw lines about who is appropriate, who isn't appropriate, but it seems like that's ultimately the Midah of Anava. It's very important. And, The more a Rebbe is about himself, talking about himself, and then it comes off in that type of a way, and looks like he's trying to direct the energy towards him as a person, it becomes like a dangerous type of, But, these things are tricky. I don't know. It's hard to figure out in particular how to work it out, So going to the, I know we don't have that much time here, but so just let me say one thing about this, seeking out the angels. Even the angels are doing this, right? So maybe Tzorachian, but this is my general approach, which is that another place, there's two old moments. The old moment that we typically think of is the Mishkan, right? The old moment is the gathering place where we seek Hashem, where Moshe talks to Hashem, where Hashem talks to Moshe. And Moshe goes to greet Hashem and whatever. That's the classical term, Ol Moed, the first of that. But there's Ol Moed, which is Moshe's time. And I'm going to say maybe it's like the Ol Moed, the classical Ol Moed, Mishkan, is not really for angels. It's for people. But Moshe's tent is even for angels. What do I mean? I mean that the Ol Moed, the Mishkan, is not really, is in a certain sense a concession to man's nature. It's this beautiful gold and silver and copper and beautiful smell and music. And, it's like the experience of going to the Ol Moed and all the royal clothing. And, it's very physical. And it draws you in on an emotional level and an intellectual level. Both. I mean, the Kohanim, the greatest Chachamim, Yom Shetach Yaakov, they're teaching us. And the whole experience of Avodah is very halachic. It talks to the entire human personality. It very caters to your instincts and your mind, and it becomes this all-out experience of Kir L'Shechina and the entire human personality. And so Shira is part of it, and smell, and the whole thing. Angels don't need that. It's almost like the Rav joked, I don't know, he says, I don't need the Mishkan, I don't need Mikdash, I could learn Zvacha or Menachos or whatever. It's like, but people need that. People are people, and people have emotions, and we direct the person towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu is ultimately through the Makom and the Mikdash is what directs the full human personality towards the Shekhinah, towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the whole moment. That's the way we human beings read a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But a Malach doesn't need to do that. A Malach isn't impressed by gold and silver and music and smell or whatever. They're just involved in the Kalamplanish, you know, I don't know, whatever, the world of ideas. Whatever. That's they're involved in. They don't need that. That these are like physical things which draw in the human personality. But the Ohel of Moshe wasn't a beautiful Ohel. It was a tent. Moshe made a pitch. Then you know what he did? And he sat there and he learned Torah. And then he wanted to seek and learn Torah and wants to talk with Moshe about ideas. Boom. That's the whole Moed. And in a certain sense, that's even for the very similar, the same almost as what the Malachim are doing. They're discussing ideas about the Shekhinah. They're learning about the Shekhinah. Moshe's learning about the Shekhinah. We're learning about the Shekhinah. That's, they're all in the same camp. And in a certain sense, at that stage, the people couldn't have the Ohel Moed, the regular Ohel Moed, because they were steeped in the Egal, and it was dangerous. It was too dangerous. They were at a level where if you get too physical for them, they're going to go down a bad path. So the only Ohel Moed they could have is the Ohel of Moshe. And that's where they went. And that was, like, they were, in other words, you have to be a roi to have the Mishkan, such that it's not going to corrupt you. So that was, they needed kapara first, they needed to pull away. At that stage, if you wanted to seek the Shekhinah, there's one route, it was the Ohel of Moshe. And that's where you'd be there, the Malachim would be there. It's like, I'm saying it's like a mashal. They're trying to say, like, that's kol mevakesh Hashem. Anyone seeking Hashem, that is like, the Ohel of Moshe is like the ideal method of seeking out the Shekhinah, which is through Chachma. And in that sense, the man and the Malachim share that in common. We're all involved in the Chachma. But that, and I'm saying it's like contrasting. The lima here is kol mevakesh Ohel Moed. It's like contrasting that. Or it could be contrasted with the later Ohel Moed, which is the Ohel Moed, which was set up more permanently, which is the Mishkan. That is not one which is there. It's not kol mevakesh Hashem. That's just going to be mevakesh Hashem, the people who seek out Hashem. Like, I'm taking Malachim to mean, like, I don't know, it depends exactly what it means, but like the Malachi Sharis are depicted as, you know, yeah, like they're involved in Makulam, they're like, I don't know, non-physical, like the Ram talks about, like intelligences who are involved in praising Hashem and learning about Hashem. They're you know, heavenly intelligent beings who are involved totally in the ideas of Hashem. And they're, so to speak, seeking out the Shekhinah. And normally they say, Baruch Hashem Koma, the whole world. Like Chazal say, like, this is similar to Chazal say for, and Rebbe's quote, I don't know if I saw that, not, but like, for Adam Rishon's Mikdash was the whole world. In a certain sense, Malach Alvarez Kiboda. The real quote Jemayim is in the whole universe, and you can see it everywhere. But that's true, and that's what the Malachim are going to see. They say, the quote Hashem is Malach Alvarez Kiboda. Yeah, and you look up to that. You don't go to a place. And that's what Shlomo says. The whole world can't sustain you in this house. But in a certain sense, the idea of a house with gold and silver and music, and it's a concession. It's not really the highest ideal. But that's what we need. And but that's not what angels have. The angels are heavenly beings who are involved in Chachmas Hashem, talking about Hashem, praising Hashem, recognizing the Malchut Kavod, Kadosh Kadosh, the transcendence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, totally removed from physical, to remove from everything. But they're okay with the Ohel of Moshe. That's not what's happening in the Ohel of Moshe. There's nothing in the Ohel of Moshe except for discussions about Torah and ideas. Perfect. That's they're right in there. I'm saying it's like it's not teaching us about angels.
In the realm
it's
of
teaching
the
us. Lesson. I'm saying the lesson is not about angels. What do we need about learning how the angels are, where they go? The lesson is about how we should think about the Ohel of Moshe. How we should. It's a comparison of the two Ohel Moeds. It's teaching us about that Ohel Moed versus the later Ohel Moed. This is an Ohel Moed which is, in a certain sense, a more ideal Ohel Moed. And it's the only Ohel Moed we are fit to have at that point. And whoever would do it, great. Whoever wasn't able to do it, fine. They weren't ready. But it was trying to move us away from the attachment to the physical and towards the Ohel Moed of evolved and Torah, seeking out Torah. But then once we kind of weaned away from the Egel and overcame it, then Hashem gave us the Mishkan and gave us an Ohel Moed which is more in line with our nature, more of a human Ohel Moed, with appropriate checks in it and all the, you know, set up hopefully in a way that'll protect us from the dangers. But there are dangers, as we saw in another interview and throughout the Mechaper for the Egel and, you know, things like that. It's a risky institution. But it's for a man, this is the human Ohel Moed. Yes, and it's true. In some sense, the highest level of a person is arguably even outside of the Mishkan. Just he's involved in the pure contemplation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think the Ram says that in Marvuk. He says, service of tefillah is a higher level of service than Mishkan, and then a pure contemplation is even higher level than that. So yes, it's true, but you know, this is what we're, you know, we are humans, so therefore, ultimately, that's the our basic level of Oda does work through Mishkan.
Right.
At the same time, that's part of the lesson, is that there is a higher level, and Mishkan should direct us towards even something higher.
Right.
Even higher, and that's always ever-increasing the level of, you know, but ultimately, we're human beings, and this is the system which is set up for Klal Yisrael. But that's what I'm saying, like, that's the Rav. You know, I'm not sure how he said it. I don't know if people like that he said it, but he says, this is what he's saying. I don't need the Mishkan. I learned Zvachum and Menachos. It's just as real to me. I know the whole Avodah, like the back of my hand. And it's for him, the Avodah of Yom Kippurim was a reality. He doesn't need to be there physically. He learns about the ideas, and he moves by the Chachma. And so in a certain sense, there is a higher level. But, you know, there's a higher level. It doesn't mean, it's not sustainable in general for people, you know, so we're people. But it's nice. There's a value of knowing that there's something even higher, even though we're not capable of reaching.
What makes it relate to the thing that even the lower thing gets raised up.
Yes,
right. No, we relate to it
because it's not right. We see that there's something even higher than that. It's valuable to how to relate to it. There's an Ohel Moed, which is even for Malachim. That's in a certain sense. So we do Merkavanei Shchina, Merkavanei Zaken, Merkavanei Shchina. That type. There is that in a certain sense. There's something higher about that. But it's not for everybody. Like, in a certain sense, the Beis Medrash isn't for everybody, but the Mishnah Mikdash is. You know? So not everybody can be Mevakesh Bnei Zaken, but everyone could be Mevakesh the Shechina and the Mikdash. And you go to the Mikdash. Everyone goes to the Mikdash. And Shal Shagalim, everyone's there. But is everyone in the Shir? In the Afikala or whatever? I mean, that's not necessarily capable. So the Mikdash is designed for a Klal. It talks to everybody on their own level. Look, and Torah is also that way in a certain sense. But, you know, there's like, in a certain sense, the Mikdash is the same for everybody. Basic Mikdash. But experience of Talmud Torah is very, you know, personalized.